UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everybody, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. I hope you're all having a good week. We will shortly be joined by Tyler from Ontario in Canada, sharing his unexplained occurrences, waking dreams, visits from beings, and a premonition. But before we hear from Tyler, we have a witness submission from Tikam in Cameroon, in Central Africa, and his experience with astral projections. And don't forget, you have just to the end of the month to enter January's podcast competition to win a UFO Chronicles podcast t-shirt. To enter, just leave a ratings, review, or both on your podcast app. Take a screenshot, then email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Even if you have already done so in the past, you can still enter. Full details on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com/competition, or look for a link below in the show notes. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show.
Hey Nick, my name is Tikam Yindi and I'm from Cameroon Central Africa. I've had quite a bit of experiences, some paranormal, but the one I want to share is paranormal, but anyways, let me just get to it. I've always been interested in the whole paranormal thing and there was a period where I was really interested in astral projection. I've tried all the methods I read online, everything, but I could never get to it. The closer I ever got to astral project was actually getting to the vibration stage or once where I had a lucid dream. But that's as close as I could get. So there's this time where I just read somewhere about writing your dreams every time you wake up in a journal so that you could remember them vividly. So I did it once and strange things started to happen. Mostly in like the bedroom, like while sleeping, almost like sleep paralysis type of things. But nothing too crazy. So I stopped because I was too scared. But then recently, I think it was a year ago, I started again writing my dreams into a journal. daily. And the more you write, the more you recall your dreams. And it gets, in a way, more vivid. So this time around, after writing my dreams for a whole week, only a week, actually, there was a day where I took a nap. I think, I don't remember, but I think it was at something like 2 p.m. But as soon as I felt asleep, something woke me up. But then when I woke up, I remember feeling this sensation of being sort of upside down. It's like I was lying on the bed on my front and my legs were upwards. That's what I felt. And at my ankles, I felt two hands holding my legs upward. That's the feeling I got. So when I woke up, I did not move. My heart started beating just fast as I realized what was going on. I was feeling my body in that position. All of a sudden, I just felt like, I know this is scary, but this is nothing too crazy. I don't know. I felt like there's nothing to it. It was scary, but I just felt like, nah, this is nothing. Just keep on sleeping. But I was actually still too scared. So as I stayed there, only 30 seconds, I started feeling my body back. It was like gradual sensation. I felt my body not moving, but the sensation of being pulled upward, that sensation just started fading and I could start feeling my body back on the bed. Not like I was moving from being up towards the bed, but just the two states, the feeling of my legs being up just started fading away, and then I could feel my body lying flat on the bed. That to me was actually extremely scary, as I realized later that what went on. So I stopped writing into a dream journal again, because that's the second time something strange happens as I'm doing that. So I gave up on that end. So for my second story, it is about a dream that I've had more than once. I think it was a recurring dream, but it wasn't like a lifelong recurring dream. I mean, I had the dream at least 5 times in a 2-year period. It was between probably 2017 to 2019. And the dream, I can't say for sure how it starts, but it's like I'm in the house, but suddenly I just get the urge to go outside. So I open the door and I look outside. Then for some reason, I just look up. But when I look up, I just see a huge circle. It's not just a circle, it's the typical UFO, a typical saucer-shaped ship in the sky. That is, it looks extremely big. So big that I don't think I have a way to compare it to, anything to compare it to as an example, but it covered most of the sky as I could see it. But as I see the ship, the dream just ends. That's all I can remember. But I've had that dream at least 5 times. And that's the only dream I've had that was recurring. I've never had any other dream that I've had more than once and I remembered them apart from that one. So that stood out to me and I told some of my friends, but for them, it's like a joke. They take it as a joke lightly, and most of them always say it's demons, maybe I'm possessed, that kind of things, because a lot of people here are Christians and they are heavy into Christianity. So to them, it's just demons or maybe, and I should pray to that kind of stuff. But that's the end of that experience. Yeah, that's my story. Thanks for having your show and letting us share our stories. Thank you and bye.
Hello, Tyler, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Thank you for coming on today, calling from Ontario, Canada.
Correct.
Now, you're going to be sharing some of your experience with us. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Tyler?
Sure. So when I was younger, around 5 or 6 years old, the year would have been 1992, and I lived in a triplex with my mother, my sister, my dad. And we were on the top floor of this triplex, and I don't know if the nosebleeds that I had had been as persistent as they were while living in this triplex, but I had frequent nosebleeds as a young boy. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and just, you know, not to be too graphic, but I'd have a pillow full of blood, and there was nothing that the doctors could really indicate that, you know, it wasn't dry air, this or that, or the other thing. So there was really as to why I was getting these nosebleeds. And looking back on it, I also at the same time was having dreams where I could fly. So, and the weird part about this, in my dreams, the only way I could fly is if I crossed my legs, one foot over the other, and I'd have to essentially push off. And this is the process that I'd have to go through in every dream. I'd be, I think, standing kind of like, it was always in my neighborhood, so it was always something familiar to me. But I was in my dream, I would cross my legs, and I would, in a standing position, sprint upwards. And almost as if there was no gravity, I would just kind of like worm my way up into the sky. And for fear of catching any of the hydro wires or the trees, I would have to climb higher. Now, when the first few dreams where this happened, I wouldn't go too high because I'd, you know, be a little bit scared of heights. But as I got to get used to it, I would, you know, go pretty high, and I would try and visit places like my school. And that was at the time, my school would have been just a couple blocks away. And so I would kind of float my way around, and then, you know, you end up waking up with a nosebleed. So I always found that was pretty peculiar. Living in that triplex, a few other things happened, which lead me to believe that this was like a hotspot for either supernatural or possibly, you know, things of the spiritual nature. In that same apartment that we lived in, my mom actually experienced sleep paralysis. And I know this comes up a lot on the podcast, but she, from her recounting the whole situation, she said that she woke up, felt a cold breeze from the window, and heard, my mom heard footsteps coming down the hallway. Her bedroom would have been at the end of the hallway, and her bedroom opened out into a living room space. So there's a hallway where she could hear the heavy footsteps coming towards her. And she just had this overwhelming fear. And from what I understand, her eyes were open. So she wasn't like sleeping at this point. She's actually awake, not able to move, with her eyes open, listening to these pounding footsteps come down the hallway. And they come into the room. At some point, she feels a heavy weight put on her chest to the point where she can't breathe. And while this is happening, my dad is sleeping right beside her. She can't wake him up because she A, can't scream, and B, he's just for whatever reason unresponsive. She eventually, she manages to like get a yelp out, and as she does that, everything stops. And then my dad wakes up, of course, because she finally, the encounter's over, whatever happened. And she said it did not, definitely felt negative. And so that wasn't the last situation that happened in this triplex in 1992. The final thing, the one thing that always sticks with me and that gives me, this is kind of like my little thread of hope that there is something out there bigger than us, you know, kind of guiding us. And how do I put this? Now, there's a saying that I have of my own, fiction is just nonfiction that we're not ready for. And so I feel like if there are certain things that, if we see them, you know, in the light of day, our psyche can't handle it. And so I had this situation. I'm 6 years old, playing in the backyard of this triplex. And, you know, like every kid my age, I was playing with G.I. Joes. I was playing with action figures. And but I found it interesting because this sighting, whatever you would call it, I'm playing in the backyard of the triplex. And I just kind of see the trees moving around me, like, you know, when like there's a strong breeze. And I turned around and I looked up, and all I can say is like this military helicopter is hovering above the triplex. And it's one of those ones that I don't know, you see them in the action movies where they have, like, say, a gun turret out the side window or side door. And but this didn't, there was no gun turret. There was just several soldiers ziplining down from this helicopter. And they start rushing towards me and past me, kind of just, you know, on either side of me. And one leans in, one of these soldiers leans in, and he just holds his finger to his mouth and he makes the motion to shush, to be quiet. So as to say, like, you know, we're trying to be sneaky. And then I go to look where they're running towards. So I turned around the opposite direction to where they had just ziplined down from, and there's nothing there. And then I look back behind me and the helicopter's gone. So what is that? You know what I mean? Like, that story's always stuck with me in my head. Was this an alien entity entering my backyard? Am I imagining this? Is my imagination that good that it's almost tangible as a kid? I don't know. But that was everything that occurred in the triplex in 1992 that I can recall. So between the sleep paralysis, my nosebleeds and flying at night, and this helicopter, honestly, that to me felt like a lot going on there. I've always wondered growing up, you know, where does it change? Where does, you know, like, there's a certain point where we just stop believing in, call it fairy tales, but you stop believing in other life forms. You know, you there's a point where you just stop believing in, you know, spirituality and the idea that there's more out there. And I think that comes about when you're institutionalized schools. You know, you go into schools and you basically, all that's washed away. You know, like, I think we have potential. And from an early age, I always believed that all the knowledge of the world is available to us. It's within all of us. But eventually, it leaves us because we're funneled through the education system, and then we're funneled through the workforce, and then you have no time to think. You have no time to think for yourself. And so you lose these things. You dismiss these things. So, but they still linger in my mind. So after this triplex, we moved around a lot. I was probably maybe 8 years old, and we had to be left with a babysitter. And I remember her name was Cornelia, and she was a very religious person. So we ended up going to one of the nights that my siblings and I went to this church with our babysitter, Cornelia. And there was this little gathering that we did in the basement. This is, I know it sounds creepy, but we're sitting in this circle, and the minister, I suppose, is going around and he's just putting his hand on he's just palming everyone's forehead. And he's, you know, like, I later learned that he's a medium, because I get into mediums and meditation and everything later in life. But he's going around the room and he's like saying, you know, this is what he feels with every person. And when he got to me, I don't know why, and it still just like chokes me up, but he palmed my forehead and he just said, yes, like, this guy is going to do God's work, whatever you believe God's work is. To me, God is an ideal. It's the collective. To me, 8 years old, being told that I'm going to do God's work. I ended up going home, waking up in the middle of the night, bawling my eyes out. And my mom comes in and she says, what's wrong? And I tell her, I don't know what Jesus wants me to do. So there's this whole weird ordeal with that, but it was kind of funny. And at that point, as a kid, I started trying out religion and prayer. So I start praying. And the first time that I actually consciously made an effort to pray, I closed my eyes, I cupped my hands, and I started praying. And as I started praying, I heard this loud, resounding no, like something shouted no at me in my mind. And it just startled me so much that I stopped what I was doing and just went to bed. I'm like, okay, we'll try that again later when it's not, you know, when the lights aren't off and everybody else is sleeping. But that was an interesting kind of blip in my childhood. Like I said, the institutions kind of wash that away. Kind of forget about all that, or you put it aside, and it makes you wonder, you know, what else has happened, that what other signs were there that there is something greater. So fast forward to say 2016, I'm a little bit older. I'm a young adult. And I get into meditation again. I start to receive things that people have dubbed as downloads. So you just wake up, or you come out of meditation just feeling like you know more, and you have a better understanding of things that are otherworldly. You have a better spiritual understanding of things that you're, you know, seeking out. So I got into meditation and I'm getting these downloads and stuff, and it's pretty cool. And my intuition starts to kick in, and I'm getting, you know, everything's making more sense with meditation. But having said that, I also experienced sleep paralysis. This happened a lot more as I started meditating more. I found myself more susceptible to negative energies, or I could at least identify them and feel them a little bit more. So I'd have bouts of sleep paralysis. I think there's like three different accounts where I can remember just waking up and not being able to speak and not being able to move and petrified, essentially. And I can recall in my dreams, there's a character, you know, pointing and laughing at you and just making you feel small. And that's what I remember from the sleep paralysis. There was one encounter, though, where I was meditating or having a nap, because sometimes you meditate so deep that you just pass out. And I would have these instances where I would get really tired. And this is where like the meditation and downloads come into play, because I would get really tired and I'd have to lay down and I'd say, okay, I'll try and channel something, see what's happening. And then, yeah, sometimes I'd pass out. And this one time when I passed out, and I was coming to, I could hear, it sounded like three individuals talking amongst themselves. But they weren't voices that I was familiar with. So that was kind of startling to me. And the only thing that I remember hearing them say was, "Is he ready?" And they were kind of like whispering and muttering to each other. And that's the only words I heard was, "Is he ready?" As I'm waking up, I get the sense that I've got the edge of the bed or whatever. And, I vaguely see they weren't a black entities. They were like a navy deep blue. I can't really describe them all that well, but the reason I say they were for sure blue beings is because as I finally came to, there was nothing in the room, but I looked up and across the hall from where I was sleeping, there's another room, and I just saw the hand cusping the door frame, and it was a blue hand with five digits, like we have, and it just kind of grazed the door frame, and just almost as if they wanted me to see that, yeah, there was definitely something here, and here's my hand, here I am, gone. And in that moment, I had a sense of euphoria. I was just, everything was right with the world. And I remember kind of crying to myself a little bit, but tears of joy. And I just said thank you to whoever was there, because they did something that just alleviated whatever pain I had mentally at the time was gone. It was like the slate was wiped clean for that day, and it just felt so great. It's weird. Like, I don't have the drawings now. I have them somewhere, but I had drawings of the three beings, and it's clear in my mind, and I can draw it on paper, but I just can't say it. It was just a weird experience for me, and it was the closest thing I had to an encounter with something that might be, you know, bigger than us, other than helicopters and zip lines, but I don't know what to make of that. And the other weird thing about that time when I was having a nap and waking up to these blue people or beings is I couldn't explain it, but I had a little lump behind my ankle that was never there before. And it was there for years after. And I couldn't, like, it just didn't go away. I put creams on it. Nothing happened. And I just thought it was odd. And I heard stuff about people saying that after a visitation, they've received an implant, and I don't know if it was or not. It's gone now, but it was there for several years. I even went to see a doctor in Toronto, Ontario, that supposedly specialized in past life regressions. And they spoke about a doctor that could remove implants from extraterrestrial encounters. So I went to see this person, and all I got from them was, "You're going to be fine." They didn't do any past life regression. They just kind of spoke to me for a bit and they sent me on my way. So that was just an interesting encounter, where I implant or not, I don't know. But it was just kind of a weird coincidence that after waking up from that was there. So there's a few other things that have happened over the course of my, my life that have kind of been interesting a lot through meditation. I've done past life regression meditation before, and it was pretty interesting. It was this 2-hour bout where coming out of it, I had like vertigo, and I was like nauseous, couldn't sit up properly. But it told me that I had a past life in Egypt as a merchant, and my wife was taken from me to go serve the royalty or whatever. That's, yeah. So there's all these weird stories that come up. And then I'll just fast forward now to the most current, and this is more of a story of a spiritual experience. In 2019, I lost my stepfather, and because my mom and my dad, after, you know, trying as hard as they could, they split up when I was 14. So my stepfather was in my life for maybe 5 years before he passed in 2019. But I had these weird vibes that told me that I needed to spend as much time as I could up north with my mom and my stepdad. They were an hour and a half away. So I went up there for a visit, and I thought, okay, that's good. I got my visit in, you know, we got our FaceTime, cool. And then I went home, and then a couple of days passed, and I said, no, I got to go back up there. And as I'm driving up there, wouldn't you know it, the voice that I heard from when I was little, I swear it was the same voice. All I heard was no. And I had this like feeling of complete dread going up there. I didn't know why exactly. I felt like maybe, you know, I better, you know, slow down, take it easy. Don't, you know, don't speed, don't be reckless. Maybe you're avoiding a car accident or something like that. And then I got up there, and I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm waiting for whatever is going to happen. We didn't know what it was going to be until my stepdad ended up having a heart attack, and we had to rush him to the nearest hospital, which was a 20-minute drive. And it was a long ordeal. It was 6 hours where he was in and out of consciousness. And I was trying to do my thing and flex my meditation muscle. So I stepped back from everybody, and I kind of like cleared my head. I was trying as hard as I could to give whatever energy I could to him, in hopes that we'd be able to keep him. But what I did get was a clear image of him, just kind of, he always wore a backwards baseball cap. And it's kind of like when someone gets knocked on their butt, and they're just like kind of thrown back by it, and they kind of shake their head in a daze, and they're like, whoa, like that just happened. Give me a second. While I saw him, in, I'd say, an astral form, in his spirit form. And he was just kind of sitting on the sidelines, and I'm telling him to come back. It's okay, whatever. And he's just shaking his head, and he's essentially saying, I can't. I've got to go. And so I gave him a moment, and I thanked him, and I said, go and say hello to all our relatives and family that's already up there. So that was my last real experience with anything, I'd say, supernatural or spiritual. But it was pretty intense. Like, is it all in the mind, or do these things happen? If you flex that muscle, can we all feel like we can all flex that muscle? And that's why I love this podcast, because it gives us a chance to see and hear everybody else's story. And I think we need to be reminded that it's okay to believe in these things, because, you know, it's, I don't know whose vendetta it is. I don't know who wants us in this position where all we do is clock in and clock out, but it's causing the human race to stagnate. That's not cool. I think that if you're not learning, you're not living. And there's so much out there for us to learn. And I think that there are things out there, beings, extraterrestrial, whatever you identify with. I believe that angels and extraterrestrials could very well be the same thing. What would angels be other than, you know, something from another realm that we don't necessarily understand entirely? So, I mean, that's primarily what I've got to go on. You know, I could sit here and talk about all the dreams I've had, and all the, you battle demons in your dream, you rekindle relationships, you can learn and unpack things in your dreams, and they're very powerful.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
I guess that's it, man. Like, our minds, they have all the knowledge that we need, and we need to access that. So, I mean, Nick, thank you for doing this. I got a little choked up at the end trying to talk about my stepdad, but it was just an overwhelming experience. And it was the first time in my life where I tried to just channel everything that I had and put aside any doubt that I had in me regarding spirituality and mindfulness. So,
hey man, you did great. You know, you're human, man. We have emotions. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
What's your stepdad's name?
My stepdad's name was Terry Noel. He's a great guy. And the funny thing is, he didn't believe or buy any of this. He doesn't believe in ghosts or angels or extraterrestrials. Anytime I would talk about this stuff with my mom or my sister, who are very like in tune to that stuff as well, he would just laugh at it. But then now he's on the other side of it. And I don't know what his experience is. Like, I've never been there, but I will be one day.
You know, I hear that quite a lot, where we lose a loved one. And they're the ones which have no interest in this kind of stuff. You know, if you're there, you're talking with your auntie, you know, about ghosts and all that kind of stuff. And when she passes, she probably doesn't, you know, you never see her again. But the one that you end up talking to that has no interest in this kind of stuff whatsoever, and for some reason they pop back. I don't get it. I hear it quite a lot. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that even though they do pass and they do go, they never really go, you know, they still visit.
Yeah.
They do. And of course they do. And the same as, you know, when I go, I'll do the same, and I'm sure you will.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't have proof until we're there, which is, you know, it's kind of a weird catch-22, I suppose, because you can believe in all this stuff all your life, but you really don't. How do you get there if not for having these little blips, you know, through meditation or just through like, and I think that's what kind of troubles me the most, is that when we're younger, we have these very real experiences, I believe, but they get dismissed the older we get, because we're no longer allowed to be children, and we're no longer allowed to ask questions and imagine. The more questions you ask, the more you're told to keep your head down.
Yeah, I agree. The things we're taught over the years, we're not taught the right, I don't say we're not taught the right stuff, you know, we're taught stuff that's going to gear us up to be adults, but there's another side to life that we're missing, you know, we're missing out, you know, we're not learning.
Yeah, yeah. There's just so many distractions that we have in our life that remove us from the things that we really care about. I remember being so frustrated as a kid, as a teenager, more so than anything, is why can't we just be the things that we want to be? If you want to be an artist, why can't we just be that? If you want to, you know, fight fires. I mean, you can do these things, but it feels like they've created so many walls, more walls than they have doors, right? And the same goes for spirituality and everything in this realm, right?
I agree with that. You know, the voice you heard, was it male or female?
I would have to say more male, because it just had a sternness to it. When I was younger and I started praying and I heard no, like it was just this echoing no. And it startled me to the point where I stopped what I was doing. I was like, okay, you're the boss. I mean, later I learned to challenge those things, because if you're the first thing that any negative entity is going to do is try to strike you with fear, right? So the minute you can express courage and that you don't fear that, then you remove their power. There's some expression saying that the greatest strength that the devil has is that is not believing that they're there. I don't know how it goes. I'm butchering that, but...
Greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing everyone he didn't exist.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. If you don't think it's there, then they can just manipulate and mold you like putty, right? So it's crazy. As a teenager, I did dabble with things of like, I guess, I don't know if you ever heard of something called the Necronomicon.
The book, yeah.
I don't even like to say it because it's just, it's so heavy. But I had a friend that he actually introduced me to that book, and I read it in record time. I'm not a strong reader, and that book, if you've seen it, it's really thick. And I read that in like a week. And then I actually believe that caused a lot of grief for me in the following years, like negative entities and stuff and attachments. Like, it was just brutal. I had a brutal decade where I was basically trying to shake that filth off and keep it off. I dabbled in that, and then I quickly realized like that's probably not the best thing to do.
No, over the years I've acquired a lot of kind of dark kind of occult literature and stuff, and you can, you know, just reading some of this stuff, you know, there is emotion which goes in, you know, the writers of this material, there's emotions which has gone on paper, and in turn, you know, you read this and you kind of get involved, can lend you down certainly a dark road emotionally as well. So I never advise people have interest in this kind of stuff. I do. I have an interest in cult, for, you know, obviously, but it can lead you in some very dark places.
Yeah. And when you're younger, you feel invincible. So you don't think that you're really dabbling in anything dangerous, but it can really it can hinder you. And I think it did hinder me for a long time. Once I cleared myself of the negativity that I felt, I kind of attached to myself accidentally. I ended up in relationships with women that I was dating, and I would actually recognize, and I'd be able to flag, okay, well, you've got some real negative entities interfering with you right now. And there's one time where I was dating someone who had two kids, and her daughter was always acting up, and so I got a smudge done of the whole apartment and everything, and I did a lot to clear the entities there. I feel like I did. But you've heard of videos and photos of seeing orbs and stuff like that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I was compelled to go into the crawl space in the attic. And when I did, I filmed, and usually like you could see dust and it looks like orbs, right? But this one was a very distinct, very orange looking orb that I had on camera, and it moved against the wind and everything. You could see the dust coming in, and it felt like this was an actual orb, and it was just like, oh, okay, so there is stuff here. And after I did that, this is like right out of a movie, but this, her son's remote control car was sitting in the playroom, and it just started revving by itself. The controller, it has an on off switch so that you can disable the controller, and I pick it up and the controller's not active. So we had a whole ordeal with that and stuff. You never know when you're going to latch onto or have negative latch onto you, and then if you get through that, you can actually, I've helped friends and family and stuff like see their way through that. I know you've had guests that talk about being empaths, and I feel like that's another one of the muscles, and I think that we've all got it. It's just a matter of, like, if you don't use it enough, then it's virtually useless and it can go undetected. But I feel like we all have. If you watch a movie and you get a lump in your throat, that's empathy. That's characteristic of someone that is empathic, right? To me. Now, being able to like catch that energy off of people that you're around is another thing. But like, I think, yeah, like watching a movie, that's right on the cusp of like, that to me indicates that everybody has potential to be an empath. If you can feel that energy through the screen, imagine if you flex that around people.
That's exactly it. And I've had quite a lot of empaths on. A lot of them, which don't even realize that, you know, that's kind of their thing.
Yeah.
Especially when you speak to someone for a while and you hear more and more of their sensitive side, you know, which does seem something which is lacking these days, especially on social media where people seem to be devoid of this kind of emotion at the minute.
Yeah. There's a lot of anger in the world right now, a lot of frustration. And so it's being projected everywhere. So it's kind of hard. Hard for empath.
You get it from all angles. You're not just dealing with yourself, you know, you're dealing with your family, and then your friends are bringing all this to you as well. So yeah, I think it can be a bit difficult for some people.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do I performed stand-up comedy for to a capacity, like, you know, amateur circuit. But one of the things that would get to me is, like, if I go into a venue and I would be able to know almost instantly if it was going to tank or not, because I would already feel the room, like, you get the vibe. And I think a lot of comedians actually are very in tune spiritually, whether they'll admit it or not, because they have to be. They, like, if they're going to tune into the vibe of a room, that's empathic to me. It's, and one of the jokes I had was, what does an empath say in a thrift store? I'm not feeling so good, because you're hanging around so much stuff that residual energy's in it. It's, I wasn't articulating it very well, but the whole thing with that helicopter, it's like, there's only so much that our minds can actually take. If there actually was something there, like if it was a spaceship, if there was an alien entity there, as a kid, I would probably freak right out if I saw that. So I would have to see something that I identified with. Oh, G.I. Joe's coming down from a zip line. Your brain can only take so much.
You know, what you're probably seeing on the show now is a lot of reoccurring themes. All right, so we're getting these helicopters now. We're getting things like owls.
Owls, yes. I've heard a lot of owls.
Over time, you know, you'd hear more and more of these accounts, and there's these themes.
See, and that I'm speaking on myself, it just, to me, it can't be, you know, like, it. There's no, none of this actually seems to be, like, all together. Like, there's no one thing tying everything, which is kind of, it's frustrating. So, like, when I see these people writing books about their experiences, it's like, you don't know the correlation until later in life. And so it'd be interesting to see what somebody's compiled with all that stuff. Like, there's one instance where I don't know if you've ever seen anything like this, or I don't know if it was maybe a meteorite, but I was waiting for my girlfriend's son to come out of his lacrosse game at an arena, and in the parking lot it was myself, her, and there was like maybe four other people just lingering around. But I saw this giant flame ball of fire just shoot across the top of the arena, and it was on like a downward trajectory, like it would probably land somewhere in the city. It looked that's what was going on, and I was totally floored by it. And I'm like looking around at everyone. I'm like, did you just see that? This big fireball shot across the sky. And nobody else saw it. Nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. But I don't know if that, I went to, there's different satellites that you can check online. And I don't remember what they were, what those websites were, but both of them had blackout periods for that time, for that time frame. So I don't know if it was a meteor, or what it was, but
I do get a few fireballs, and they are usually reported in UFO sites as well, like the National Reporting Center and MUFON, and, you know, they accept all that. Do you remember what kind of color it was?
It was more of an orange to it, like maybe yellow. What is it called?
MUFON, yeah.
And do they have a satellite that you can look at? You can access it online and put in the date and time and stuff?
Oh, do you mean to find out if a satellite actually went over?
Yeah, like it.
There's Heavens Above, where you can put in, you can look to find out which satellite's going over you at a certain time, or the ISS or things like that. Did it have a big streak?
It almost seemed like a dark streak behind it, not like a light streak. It did look like it had flames on it. You know, if something enters the atmosphere and it just looks like piping hot, that's what it seemed like to me. And the fact that nobody else saw what I saw, and it went so quick that you couldn't even, you know, Once you registered it, you couldn't like get your camera out or anything like that. It was just gone.
Do you remember when it was?
It was at least 5 years ago. We're in 2021. So if we went back to, so yeah, it'd be like 2016 probably. Yeah. And I checked online to see if any of the cameras or whatever in space saw, or did the newspapers report anything in terms of a meteor entering the atmosphere or anything like that. And nothing came up. The satellites that do actually film, they were blacked out for that period. So I thought that was kind of
strange.
Suspect.
I mean, these satellites, yeah, you know, they do have a bit of a shelf life, and now and again they do fall out of the sky deliberately. You know, they're usually disabled and dropped out.
Yeah.
If you remember the kind of the year and the date, you might be able to find it.
I had the date and time and everything written down somewhere, but like I have books and books of jokes that I've written and stuff, and it's all piled into the same notebook. So I'd have to do a deep dive to find out the exact time and date and everything. But I thought that was kind of weird. I don't know exactly what it was, but it's like I saw that thing and nobody else did. And then there was I couldn't find any record of it. So,
you know, even if it was a meteorite, I mean, that's still quite rare, the actual color. An orange one would be content of sodium. The yellow one, I believe, is iron. Quite rare to see. I mean, I've seen bluey ones and I've seen red ones, but I've never seen a yellow or an orange. But so that in itself is actually quite rare to see.
Yeah, because it looked like a ball of fire. So that's why I'm leaning more towards like an orangey yellow kind of color. And then I want to say there's like almost like smoke or something coming off of it. Like it looked like it was a crash landing of some sort. So it could have been a meteorite. Yeah, nobody else saw it. And then I had to wait for my girlfriend's son and everything. So it's not like I could have just jumped in the car and chased it, you know, like Twister or something like that. But it would have been fun to follow it.
Over the last year or so, satellites have been a bit of a problem for me. When Elon sent up all the Starlink satellites, I had just countless emails and video of the Starlink. People just didn't know what they were. People did not know what they were seeing, you know, but it was on the internet. But people thought we were generally having an invasion. They were seeing these lines of crafts, and some people were quite concerned.
Yeah, but there are more and more people doing meditation and consciously trying to send out vibes, and I think that's kind of helping, and there's some connection being made that way. Like I said, you get lost in the shuffle of institutions and punching in and punching out, and I've phased in and out of meditation and mindfulness so many times, and, you know, like life happens, and it throws you for a loop, and then you kind of have to find your way back to it. But I would like to try working on astral projection and stuff like that again, because as a kid you're basically just in a little go-kart doing that, you know. You're in tune to it because no one said that it's wrong or that it doesn't exist, but when you're older you have to break down those walls again and then go for it. I did have one occasion where I successfully did the astral projection as an adult, where I could actually steer over the town and stuff, but I didn't have any purpose for it. So dipping your feet in the water. Yeah.
There are heaps of good books out there. There was one book called Journeys Out of the Body. You familiar with that one?
No, I'll have to write that down. Journeys Out of the Body.
Yeah, and it's by Robert Munro.
Robert Munro, okay. Is it an older book?
It's from the 70s.
Yeah, I find there's so much information that's not diluted in those older books. Like my favorite author is Isaac Asimov. And as far as like fiction being nonfiction, like that guy hit the nail on the head a few times with a few things.
He did.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's great, man.
Well, I appreciate the combo and being able to talk a little bit. I
really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for all the listeners.
Yeah, it was great. I'm glad I got a chance to, because big time fan. Honestly, I've tried on a few different podcasts, but I've always come back to this one. You're doing a great job, man. It's getting better by the minute.
Do you know what I really like? I love getting all the feedback, but it's nice. It's nice to people leaving ratings and stuff. And people go to a lot of trouble writing this stuff. And it's nice, you know, gives me a lump in the throat. So that's the benefit for me. That's what makes me happy.
Yeah. I can't watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind without thinking of the podcast either.
Yes. That's one of my favorite films. Like I said, keep in contact, all right? And I'll be in touch.
Awesome. I appreciate it again. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. You take care of yourself, Tyler. Great talking to you, okay, man?
Bye now.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. Big thank you to Tikam and Tyler for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.